Jesus spat on the ground and smeared the clay over this man's eyes. Now, why in the world would he do that? One reason, some scholars propose, is that in the ancient world, saliva was regarded to have healing properties. And so Jesus was just using saliva to administer the healing in a way that would have been culturally familiar to the people around him. That's a possibility, and there is evidence that people at that time did use saliva medicinally. The fact that he mixed it first with dirt seems to complicate this theory. Because if this really was all he was doing, well, then why wouldn't he just use saliva alone? Like actually he does at another point in the Gospels with another blind man. So that theory probably isn't the best. So what about another theory? Well, another one that scholars propose is that Jesus was showing the Pharisees what he thought of their overly strict Sabbath laws and their interpretation of the Sabbath laws. Apparently, the act of making clay and the act of kneading were two things that they taught were not allowed on the Sabbath day, kind of like how the Pharisees yelled at the disciples for picking grain on the Sabbath because they were hungry. Same sort of thing. They considered it work, so they're breaking the Sabbath. So according to this theory, Jesus was, in a sense, sticking it to the Pharisees and purposely doing something, breaking a law that or a rule that they made for themselves. Well, while this is a possible interpretation, I think there's an even better one. And that is the same interpretation that St. Irenaeus gives around the year 175 AD. St. Irenaeus cites the creation story in Genesis, saying, "And the Lord took clay from the earth and formed man." He then applies this verse from Genesis to our gospel today, saying, "For this reason the Lord spat on the ground and made clay and smeared it upon the eyes of the man, pointing out the original fashioning of man and manifesting the hand of God to those who can understand by what hand man was formed out of the dust." So according to Irenaeus, Jesus is not merely showing himself to be a healer in this passage. He's showing himself to be the creator. He's showing himself to be the same God who fashioned Adam out of clay long ago and now at work again. This is a powerful interpretation of this unusual healing, but a lot of scholars have been hesitant to agree with it, and they have a reason. The trouble with this interpretation is that the book of Genesis does not describe Adam as being fashioned out of clay, but out of the dust of the ground. Hebrew does have a word for clay, and it's not the word that's used in this passage. And so if Jesus wanted to make a connection to the creation story, well, then it seems like it would have been better to just use dust or dirt and smear that on his eyes rather than go through the trouble of making clay. And so what does this mean? Does this mean that Irenaeus is wrong in this interpretation? Well, fortunately for Irenaeus, the Dead Sea Scrolls have come to his rescue. The Dead Sea Scrolls are a bunch of scrolls and fragments discovered in the 1950s that date all the way back to the time of Jesus and some even earlier. They're so important because most of the copies we have of the Old Testament are really copies of copies of copies. But these scrolls date back all the way time. These scrolls date back all the way to the time of Jesus himself and even earlier. And so they're very important. Among the Dead Sea Scrolls, there are three pre-Christian, non-biblical documents that prove that during the time of Jesus, the trio of dust, spit, and clay was a poetic creation theme that was prevalent in Jewish culture. So I'll give the examples. So the first document among the Dead Sea Scrolls, called the Community Rule, says this: "As what shall one born of woman be considered in your presence, O Lord? Shaped from dust, he has spat saliva and molded clay." Okay, so this person is speaking about, you know, who am I, Lord, to be in your presence? I'm made of nothing more than dust, spat, saliva, and molded clay. That's basically what it's saying. Okay, the second document is called the Thanksgiving Hymns. Remember, this is poetry. It's a hymn, so here's what it says. Quote, "From dust I have been gathered, and from clay I have been formed. The creature of clay must return to the dust, to the place from which he has been taken." So again, it's kind of like an Ash Wednesday theme. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. But then it continues. "I have kept my silence, for what can I say about this matter? In accordance with my knowledge, I spoke, spat saliva, one fashioned from clay." Okay, so then the final and third document is called the Songs of the Sage, and it says this. "O Lord, you have placed knowledge in my foundation of dust. Even though I am a formation from spat saliva, and I am molded from clay." So we see here in these three documents that were discovered that among Jews during the time of Jesus, dust, saliva, and clay was a poetic way of describing the stuff that God has made us out of. So, of course, this does harken back to the story of Genesis, but it kind of adds a little bit to it as well. So Jesus making clay from dust and spit in our gospel today, and then using this clay to heal the blind man, is a symbol that the people of his time would have been able to understand. It was a symbol of how God originally shaped Adam. Jesus was showing himself to be the same God at work at the beginning of creation, and who still is at work. In fact, it might even be better to describe Jesus as not merely healing in this miracle, but as creating. Why? Well, because remember, this man was born blind, and so he had never seen before in his whole life. This is pretty interesting, in my opinion, but we still might wonder, what does this mean for us here and now? It's good to know that Jesus was at work in the world 2,000 years ago, just as he was at work in the world at the beginning of creation. But is he at work now? Well, the answer, of course, is yes. And it's really St. Leo the Great who has something to say that can really help us understand how God is at work here and now. This is a quote from a homily he gave on the ascension of Jesus. I mean, here's what he says about the ascension of Jesus. He says, "What until then was visible of our Redeemer has passed over into a sacramental presence." And so before the ascension, Jesus lived a visible life. And after the ascension, this visible life has passed over into the sacraments, into sacramental presence. And so just to rephrase it perhaps, the works that Jesus did in his visible life were meant to be signs of his work that he would do after the ascension through the sacraments. The sacraments are the way that Jesus has continued to remain present among us doing his work in the world. This is actually why the church chooses today's gospel for today. The Gospels of the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Sundays of Lent, in particular for Year A, are Gospels that are specifically directed towards the catechumens as they prepare to receive the sacraments. This particular Gospel highlights the role that baptism plays in the Christian life. Just as Jesus gave the blind man physical sight by having him wash in the waters of the Pool of Siloam, so Jesus gives us spiritual sight by having us wash in the waters of baptism. So there's a direct connection between this miracle of washing and receiving new sight and what baptism does for us spiritually. Baptism brings about a new creation within us, a new supernatural life. Baptism is when God's supernatural life is planted in our heart. It's when the Holy Spirit descends upon us like a dove, just as happened for Jesus when he was baptized. And though this new life gained by baptism might not seem noticeable at first, maybe someone feels the same before and after baptism, it's really like the mustard seed. So small you can barely see it, but it has the power to grow and grow and grow, as long as it's kept healthy and kept nourished. It's especially through the sacraments that Jesus continues to do his work on the earth. It's through the sacraments that he gives us spiritual sight, spiritual cleansing, spiritual strength, and spiritual nourishment. And so here at the Holy Eucharist, let's remember that Christ's visible presence has passed into the sacraments. By our baptism, he has already washed us in the pool of Siloam. Now, in the Holy Eucharist, he feeds us with the bread from heaven. And so may the work he began at the creation of the world continue now in our hearts.